Welcome to the Death Doula Duo. I'm Jennifer O'Neill.
And I'm Sarah Kovash.
And this is where we explore the profound mysteries of life and all things death. In today's episode, we talk about how it can affect our life to contemplate the fact that our life will end someday.
And what is a death doula anyway?
So Sarah, in the death doula circle and hospice care, we like to talk about helping people have a good death. What does that even mean?
That is a good question. I really think that having a good death means that I have thought out different scenarios of possibilities that, you know, could ultimately end in my demise, and whether I'm able to make certain end-of-life decisions or not will come into play. And so I think, you know, by having those things set out already in a plan, you can make sure that your wishes are met, you know, things about where you want to die or whether you want to have artificial hydration or nutrition, you know, who you want there or who you don't want there, possibly, you know, those all, I think all those things could kind of lend into having a good death.
Yeah, I think those things are really important. And I always think I don't want to needlessly suffer. That is my biggest thing, is short and sweet. Is there any way we can do it that way? Or if not, then how am I going to be the most comfortable?
Yeah.
And how am I going to feel the best? What's going to make me feel the best?
Yeah, no, I agree. And sometimes quality of life is not really considered when it comes to prolonging someone's life. And so, you know, I feel like if you can decide beforehand that you don't want to be resuscitated if certain things were to occur.
Right. Think about, what does quality of life mean to you?
Right. Yeah. Quality of life is different for everybody. And so, you know, really making those plans and thinking about them beforehand can really alleviate some of the issues that arise at that time.
Yeah. And so with planning, there are tools to help us do that. Like the 5wishes.org has a great little tiny little workbook that actually gives you a lot of, like, an outline, and it has you cross out things you don't want, which I kind of like, because then you don't have to think so hard about what do I want, what do I not want. You can just make an X through what you don't want.
Yeah.
And then fill in the blanks and different things about, you know, who do you want to carry out your wishes if you can't speak them yourself.
And yep. That's awesome. That having a simple resource like that for somebody to not have to think too hard about really is helpful, because, you know, these considerations are hard to think about and they're not always comfortable. And you know, a lot of people struggle to talk about that, and which is why we're here, you know, to kind of open people up. Yeah. To talk about it.
Yeah. And I mean, because people throw out the words of advanced directive and healthcare proxy living will, and then it's like, what does that mean?
Yeah, it sounds kind of scary.
Right.
It sounds complicated. And
right. And really, you know, it's not that complicated, but just knowing about it, you know, can be helpful. And that's part of what we do as death doulas, is help people prepare and print the things out, have the conversations beforehand, hopefully, or in the middle of it, but
yeah. I mean, if we have to, yeah, for sure. Yeah. So that's a really good resource. I like that 5 wishes. There's also a book out.
I'm Dead Now What?
I'm Dead Now What? And so it gives you, you know, business kinds of things to think about, you know, who's going to pay your mortgage? You know, how do you do that? How, you know,
who do you want to give your pet to?
Yeah.
Because that's a real concern. I mean,
just little things like that. I mean, the 5 wishes helps with that. This book, really all those things that you may not even consider when you're thinking about dying, you know, these things help, these books, these resources, they really help you, like, put it all out in front of you so that you can really contemplate what's going to happen.
Right. And start to think about it now when you're healthy and you don't have to you know, then those conversations can take place earlier with family and, you know, and at the bare minimum, you have them written down.
Yeah. Yeah. There's actually, I think somebody talked about it at one of the death cafes that we had, a video service now so that there are no questions. Like, I mean, how can you question a video of
right,
a person?
Right, you do your advanced directive on video.
Yes, thank yes. you. Thank you for clarifying yeah. that. Yes, yes.
No, that's, I mean, I don't, that is the thing. We'll have to get that resource yeah, and put it on our next episode.
We'll make sure that we are a little more prepared next time. So, Jennifer, what do you think the challenges are to living life with the reality of death on the table?
Well, I think for me, the biggest thing is that it's made me think about how do I want to live my life and how can I make the most of it? Because just like quality of life is important at death, it's also important now. And so what makes me feel good? And that, you know, is something that I think about constantly when I'm making decisions is like what feels good in my body right now when I'm thinking about this decision or that decision. Because my body will usually tell me. And so that is one thing. And then, you know, it's one thing to have everything written down on paper, which I do, but there are still things that give me like anxiety and pause mm-hmm. and thinking about being separated from my family. And so there are some things, I'm not going to lie, that I have avoided writing down because it is hard to think about it.
That's fair. I mean, yeah, it is. It's a hard topic. It's not easy. So, you know,
it's a process.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that really nobody wants to talk about it. And so a lot of times because they don't want to talk about it, no one really knows what that person's wishes are. And so a lot of things are left up to the family and the family is already, you know, stressed out and overwhelmed with decisions that they wouldn't necessarily have to make if you had already made them, you know? And yeah. so it alleviates a lot of anxiety and stress on the family. And I mean, isn't that what we would all wish for when we die, is that our family is not spending their time that they should be grieving with making, you know, business decisions, you know? And when I say business, I don't mean that it's actual business, but I mean, it's the business of death.
Right.
There is a business of death, you know, like people have made big businesses on death.
That is true. We want our family to be taken care of when we die. And that is one of the ways that we can take care of them.
That is exactly right. Yes. One of the things that my grandmother did for me was she basically reminded me that I was immature. She didn't remind me. She's flat out said, you know, you need to grow up, Sarah. She wanted to show me where she had paid and picked out her burial site along with my grandfather's. And she was excited. I this was before I ever thought about becoming a death doula. And so it was upsetting for me. And I was really, really adverse to even discussing it with her. And so when she asked me if I wanted to go see where she was going to be buried, I got really offended. And I was like, absolutely not. You know, no, grandma, I don't want to see that. And she got upset with me too. And she said, you know, Sarah, you need to grow up. And it really hurt my feelings. And so at the moment, you know, it didn't dawn on me for a while until later that what she did by doing that was kind of a gift, you know, by picking out her burial site and having it paid for and knowing exactly what she wanted. That was a gift to our family, you know, that we didn't have to make those decisions. They were already made, you know, and unfortunately I wasn't mature enough to deal with it, but she did me a favor by pointing that out to me.
But you have a great example there, and that's awesome. I mean, it seems like a lot of times it goes the other way and the person aging or dying is, instead of talking about any of that, they are completely freaking out yeah. and resisting all of it and lashing out. And I mean, I have a friend right now whose mother they just found a kidney mass and she decided not to have treatment for it. But it's not that simple because everything is a huge deal and she doesn't want to be rational. And so it's a sad situation because you want quality of life with that person. Like, you want to have together time and bond. And instead, you know, the fear of death is just overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah, really, you know, I had an experience that allowed me to sort of get rid of that fear of death. And that's ultimately where I decided to become a death doula. Speaking of, that's a good question. What is a death doula anyway? Would you like to expound on that?
And then we'll get back to at some point or in a later episode, what was your big life experience? So, okay. But yes, the word doula means non-medical professional that gives physical, emotional, and spiritual support to someone else. That person can be the person dying or the family. And so death doulas are also called end-of-life doulas. They're called death midwives. They're very similar to a birthing doula, except it's at the other transition of life. And yeah, so
there are actually full spectrum doulas who do both birth and death.
Yeah. And so, you know, we try to provide holistic support for the person dying and their family. And so, you know, that is where a death doula can really be helpful during situations of all kinds with people in the terminal phase, or even just if you want to prepare for making those decisions. And so, you know, we combine spiritual as well as education and training.
I think education is one of the big things that we do. I mean, I know that hospice, part of hospice is education, but they're busy and they have a lot of
They have several patients.
They have a lot to deal with. And so there are certain things that may get missed that could be really helpful to the family as far as education goes, you know, talking about things that happen during the death, during the death process, you know, during the transition. Not everybody understands or has experienced this. And so they don't know that some of these things are normal and to be expected, and they can be scary if you're not aware, you know, if you don't know that's going to happen, it can be really scary to deal with, you know, things like the death rattle.
Yeah. I mean, in every family and every situation is different. And so you can see when a need comes up and then address it right then, whereas hospice may not be there and doulas can provide more time and really take those things one by one rather than having to rush.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's really where the death doula can come in and be sort of an adjunct to hospice. So not, you know, we're definitely not trying to come in and replace hospice. We want to come in and be
part of the team.
Yeah.
I mean, because every hospice nurse I've talked to has said, please be part of the team because we need more people helping. And so I think that's awesome that there's that kind of collaboration just innate in working with hospice and really getting to know your patient, advocating for them, facilitating family meetings. I mean, really, it's just whatever is needed at the time.
Yeah. The advocating really is one of the things I really like to focus on, is advocating for the patient's needs. And that goes back to what we were talking about before and making sure that some of these decisions are made beforehand, so that if you ever are in a position that you can't make those decisions for yourself, they're already made, or you have somebody picked out that can make your decisions known. And so, you know, a lot of times that's what a death doula can come in and do, is advocate for those decisions.
Yeah, because I don't think that people even know when they need an advocate a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
All they're doing is voicing a concern that if we weren't there to help make sure that that is addressed, it would just be a worry or, you know, a concern that would just be with that person. Yeah. So we can really just witness them and bring those needs
I was kind of curious if I could ask you, you know, what made you want to become a death doula?
Well, really it was helping with one of my best friend's mom's death and just realizing that I could connect with that person that was going through that transition. And this was several weeks, if not, you know, a month or two before they actually died. They were already starting to go through some of the dementia and some of the just the transition of like seeing people that weren't there or, you know, just different things. And so realizing I could really connect with that person and help the family understand this is natural, this is part of the process, and also be able to connect with the family. And so that just really, like, I thought to myself, maybe this is a calling. I'm feeling a tug. And then another friend of mine brought up death doula. And so I was, and said, have you ever thought about doing that? And I said, actually, yeah, I have. And she showed me the training or, you know, told me about it. And I went to a free webinar. And the next thing I knew, I was like signed up taking the training. And then a couple months later, I met you. And then here we are.
Nice. Well, I had a little spiritual awakening that ultimately took away my fear of death, because I was terrified of death before that. And I had a lot of anxiety, and I spent a lot of time worrying about my death or my family's death or my son's death. And it was in an unhealthy way. And when I had that experience, I came to with just a loss of all of that fear and that anxiety. And I thought, I want to help people get rid of this fear, you know, because this is not uncommon. My experience is not uncommon. And so I thought, I want to help people, you know, and I want to help people who are dying. And I had no idea there was even such a thing. And I went to, you know, Google how to help people die or something along those lines. And it popped up, death doula. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. That's a thing. Yeah. And so I found Anelda, which is who I trained with. And I went almost instantly. I was like signed up for their next training and flew to Denver. And actually, I think I drove, now that I'm saying that.
And you flew though on the highway.
Yeah, I did. who did you train with?
So I trained with Doula Givers, and the lady who started that is a nurse, and I'm a nurse. And so I related to that. She went through a lot of the dying process and different diseases and different things. And so, you know, it just resonated with me. And it was an online course. It took about 3 months to go through. And it was, yeah, it kind of laid out to like, how do you become a death doula? And so then just things started falling into place.
Nice. Yeah. I shout out to Brian Anderson for introducing us.
That was
a great introduction. And we just suddenly were making plans to have death cafes. And then, I mean, what were we doing?
To possibilities, which is, yeah.
Well, that was what I was going to ask, is what were we doing when you brought me here that day and we proposed the idea to Byron and
Kelly. Yeah.
And it was Kelly that came up with the Death Doula Duo. And I was like, oh, it like, you know.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly don't remember what we were doing here.
But it all just seemed to like really work out in such a divine kind of ways, how I like to say it.
Yeah, that's true.
And so here we are recording a podcast. What? It's pretty awesome.
Divine appointment. That's what we call that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, divine appointment. Okay. I like that. All right.
I think it's about time to wrap up.
Is it? All right. Well, it was fun. We did a podcast episode already, but we don't know which one's going to air first, so this one might be the first one.
Yeah, so we do know that our next episode is going to be with a hospice volunteer, where we're going to explore how hospice can improve quality of life and so much more, I'm sure.
Yes, and that will be Charlene.
Yeah.
That'll be a pleasure.
Yeah, and then We also wanted to just let you know that if you would like to go to fivewishes.org, it's $5 for that simple workbook or the book that Sarah was talking about, I'm Dead, Now What? Just to get you started and thinking about things and reflecting.
Yeah, because that's what we're here for. Talk about death, make you talk about death, right?
Right. Yeah, to help ourselves and our loved ones think about getting life and death and all of those things down on paper. And
yeah, we will have an episode coming out with a hospice doctor as well. So stay tuned for that.
And until next time, may all your discussions about death be lively. Thank you for joining us as we journey through life's most enigmatic reality. I'm Jennifer O'Neill.
And I'm Sarah Kovash.
And we are
the Death Doula Duo.
The Death Doula Duo is brought to you by the Possibilities Podcast platform.
If you have comments, suggestions, or would like to be on the show, please email us at thedeathdouladuo@gmail.com. Until next time, may all your discussions about death be lively.